You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The upside of failure.
Sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
It's 10 minutes past 2 o'clock, and yes, it is time for us to look at the upside of failure. So how failure can sometimes be a way to bounce back. She used to be my favorite author, and now she isn't because she's transphobic. But J.K. Rowling says before she achieved great success with the Harry Potter series, which has been one of the most successful literary franchises, and even with the movies, that she was a single mother, you know, writing. I think she was writing on the tube, and she often speaks about, you know, rock bottom being the foundation for what would be immense global success with the Harry Potter books. And this week we are speaking to a critically acclaimed a composer, Lebo M, who also, as mentioned earlier on in the show, has a special coming to your screens in the next couple of days. Lebo, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, how are you?
We're very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. Well, it's evening for me now.
Thank you so much for your time. So before we get into the upside of failure and, you know, kind of your incredible career, on the 2nd of December, there is a Showmax. Is it a special? Is it a reality show that's coming to local screens? Could you tell us more about it? When was it filmed? What can we expect to see when it airs?
I literally just found myself in the middle of what I call a beautiful conspiracy. At the beginning of the year, long before any of us knew there's going to be this amazing turn of events called COVID-19, we had about 3 or 4 huge projects that we had planned to execute the last 3-4 years. Long story short, the list of those projects called a reality show, I found myself being in the middle of it. And in retrospect, I'm very excited that we are really part of a energy that I feel very strongly is going to be bringing a whole different element of discussion based on family and family issues. So I succumbed to doing this reality show with the view that after all said and done, you know, the world is upside down. People are depressed. We're coming out of depression, entering this second wave. And to be part of a national discussion on family issues, sometimes light, sometimes very strong, it's a great energy to finish this kind of year with, even though reality was never, ever any of my intended future projects mm-hmm. ever, but I'm grateful for the experience. Mm. It was challenging. Shot just after the doors got open for people to be able to move around, obviously very carefully with social distancing and everything related in mind. So it has been quite a journey and an exciting adventure. I have to say I have absolute respect for people that are behind putting together projects like reality. I had no idea. It's a whole new adventure for me, but everything mm-hmm. I've done in my life, I had no idea the technical skill, just working with the director and the producers has been just an amazing, amazing experience.
Yeah. You said, you know, reality TV wasn't necessarily in your plan. So what was the thing that made you agree to do Lebo M Coming Home?
That's a good one. I think the someone, especially Teddy from Dope Zulu Project, one of the co-executive producers and our director, and just a team, they found an angle that I think I was really excited about. That one, most people don't know me and they just know my work, which I've always loved and really preferred. But the angle that was sold to me that I really appreciated is one, my biography comes out in March of next year, 30 years since my first movie called The Power of One. And leading to that, being part of a discussion that starts with such a beautiful subject, the family, was what really sold me. And more importantly, having something to start a conversation with after such a difficult year that most people can relate to, that is not really, really limited only to Lebo M, Lebo Khamorake, or me as a composer, as a producer. It involves my children. It involves my wife, Angela, who's returning, and we're coming back together for the third time. So it is being part of a conversation that most families, if not all, deal with some of the issues that we're going to be tackling. Very funny issues, some painful, some highly emotional, some hilarious. I felt very strong. It's a great way to end the year. And that's the angle that I was really sold on. Mm. I look at it, I'm having the longest interview and the longest conversation via a 10-episode interview, basically. It's a conversation with friends and family.
Mm-hmm. You speak about some of the things that, I mean, the show will give an insight into is, you know, family and some of the dynamics involved. And, you know, you said some of the things are difficult things that, you know, you'll be dealing with as a family. And before this, you said you've always kind of preferred it that we know you through your music, we know you through your art. And I mean, you know, you've had two generations of certainly young people experience your music through just the Lion King film, first in 1998 when it came out, and then again with the iteration that came out in 2019. Also, you see you have a biography coming out. So it seems there is, you know, now you are kind of, aside from the art and the music that we know you for, that you are letting us into giving us some insight into who you are, your personal life. Why now?
Well, the Lion King came out in 1994, and it took many years. Probably I really was not as public as I was until I had to now physically produce the Lion King Broadway production, and obviously then going around the world and putting that project together with our productions around the world. And over the years, of course, I've been very conscious and been very aware of the what I used to call the invasion of my privacy, when a whole lot of conversation has been happening in gossip papers in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Never really paid attention to it that much, really. But now your children are growing up and the world is changing and communication is going up really fast. It dawned on me, like I said, when my friends that are now my permanent friends started talking to me about this reality show, the first thing that came to mind is, one, I've been offered this kind of project for many years and I've always rejected it. Because unless it had some substance or a subject matter that I can engage in and very relaxed, then I wouldn't consider it. But, you know, before anything else, before my work, I'm a South African and I'm an African and I'm a father. And one realizes and one has learned that coming and evolving from a family and evolving from a community and evolving from society, one also has some direct or indirect contribution to make in the evolution of this new futuristic world and society that we find ourselves in. And a lot of times that comes through conversation.
Mm-hmm. So you speak about just before this about the, you know, the play, you know, the Lion King going on Broadway. And I saw something you posted, I think a few weeks ago, that it's been 20 years since the musical opened in Los Angeles. As you correctly pointed out, you know, the Lion King itself came out in 1994. To the outsider, it seems, you know, you've had an illustrious career, both with the film, with the musical, which I had the great opportunity to watch in, I think it was 2016 in New York. It's been one of the greatest. It was a birthday present that, you know, we got to watch it in New York on Broadway. And so from the outsider, there is this, you know, you've had this great career. But have there been moments where, in addition to this, I think, wonderful success, where things didn't quite go the way you had planned or the way you had had wanted them to go?
That's like every day. Obviously, we've been really blessed. We've worked very hard. We've entered with Lion King Broadway production, and I guess the movie, because we ended up with his blockbuster last year, the Lion King movie release. We've entered what we call the milestone phase. We've set the Lion King, the original on Broadway, is about 23, well, now approaching 25 years. London is 10 to 20, about, I think, 2 years ago. Germany, Hamburg also 10, 20. So we're in milestone phases. And throughout that, whether it's personal or professional, of course, there are obstacles and all kinds of problems that one faces. And you sort of, you know, swim with it and enter solution mode as you go.
And in, you know, as you say, you were saying that, you know, failure happens or things not going according to plan happens kind of every day. Do you find, or is there a greater deal of pressure perhaps because of how well you've done in your career? I think we're losing Lebo there. Let's see if we can get him back. If you've just joined us, speaking to critically acclaimed producer Lebo M for this week's Upside of Failure. And of course, if you have a question, you can send us a message on 011-883-0702. You can send us an SMS on 31702, as well as your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. And we'll continue our conversation with Lebo M.
702.
The Upside of Failure.
Sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
24 minutes after 2 o'clock, welcome back to the Azania Mosaka Show on 702 with me, Gorgs Mhlongo. We're still joined by critically acclaimed composer Lebo M, chatting to us for this week's The Upside of Failure. Lebo, just before the break, we were speaking about, or you were saying, you know, certainly with The Lion King, both the movie and certainly the Broadway musical, that it is now the milestone phase. And I was wondering, because of the great success, certainly through the Lion King franchise, you know, have you ever felt a sense of, I guess, great pressure because your work is so, you were naming London, Germany, Hamburg, Los Angeles, you know, great parts of the United States, you know, has there been any kind of pressure that, you know, because you've done all of this amazing work, a pressure to kind of either match it or surpass it, especially, again, as we were saying, The Lion King coming back with 2019 with the movie last year. So has there been a sense of pressure to live up to stuff you've done before?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think long before The Lion King, my first real sense of pressure is, I guess I can now, I'm going to be able to say 30 years ago, because 30 years ago, next year, I would have done my first Hollywood movie called Power of One. Once we finished Power of One and the reception of the soundtrack, which is still dominant even now, put me personally in a very difficult place, because one, it was my first soundtrack. The biggest problem that comes with that kind of work is how do you choose your next projects, especially in Hollywood at that time, and I'm sure that's still the case now. And most importantly, the criteria under which I choose the work, since my first work, Power of One, established such a high degree of authenticity as an African artist. So if you notice, most of my work past Power of One, the intense part of my work has been not how to do the next one better, but how to remain authentic to who I am as an African and how to remain true to my work as a composer from an African, South African inspiration. That is probably the biggest pressure of my career that became also at the same time an inspiration for me to succeed. Then eventually it becomes less of a pressure, because you do have a sense of pride in the reaction you get from your work. And like I said, long before The Lion King, by the time we do The Lion King, it's no longer pressure. It's now, whoa, first of all, I don't think any of us that were involved in creating and conceptualizing the project, the Lion King, the movie, before 1994, had any sense whatsoever that it becomes such a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, had no. I was very used to approaching projects as work. And when you do work, you bring your best in the studio. You bring your best in the boardroom. You bring your best anytime you leave home. So it's always been work for me. But The Lion King obviously then presented itself as both a curse and a blessing. Because now, when a movie came out, I'm now based in two countries. I'm starting to find my way back home, having been in exile right before our former president, Nelson Mandela, the first black president, takes over the reins. So you are between two countries while this project is becoming so big around the world, The Lion King, and you want to go home and run away and hide. And there's two phenomena happening. There's this great energy of the new South Africa evolving. And then there's this project, The Lion King movie, that is all over the world, including South Africa. So I used to call that a curse and a blessing at the same time, sort of nowhere to hide. So that kind of pressure, I guess, made me go even under, you know, from the public. For many years, most people couldn't associate the work and the brand Lebo M with Lebo Khamora, get a person visually. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that. So it's always been that, you know, dance between, do I do this interview or not? Do I do, you know, and in the team around me, the biggest people that probably have always had a problem with me are my publicists behind any project, because I never really wanted to be. I enjoyed being behind the scenes. The irony of that is I evolved in this industry as a performer. My first love is being a performer. The composing and producing came much later in my career. So it's always been juxtaposing what I love personally as an artist and what I do as a professional behind the project.
Mm. Lebo, well, we must thank you for agreeing to do this interview with us. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you, and all the best with the launch of Coming Home when it is next week. I think it's the 2nd of December. All the very best with that, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's a critically acclaimed composer, Lebohang Morake, otherwise known as Lebo M.